Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
Born and raised in New York City and now based in Los Angeles, with a mission to spearhead a new genre that blurs the line between science fiction and reality and demonstrates a profound hunger to connect through art. Not my words, but the words of the biography of our next extra special guest. It is the welcome return of the fabulous creator extraordinaire. It's Ilana Raine. How are you, Ilana?
Oh, hi, Alex. You are just too kind. Your introduction is so wonderful. Thank you.
Well, this is the first time we've actually seen each other, admittedly, across the Atlantic Ocean, since I think you were in London and we had the premiere of one of your awesome epics at the Sci-Fi London Film Festival a few years ago.
I think that's right. That's right. It's been a while. Usually it's the radio waves bringing
exactly.
us together, but now we're via the internet, which I trust less, by the way, on every level.
Well, this is true. Yourself and Phil Leonis, I mean, I'm nudging Phil into the notion of Zoom is okay. And at the end of the day, if all our details are going to be used by the CIA, look, what the hey, let's just produce some good stuff. That's the important thing. I think we're okay from that point of view. Now, I mean, clearly, the world is still in a state of shock, I think it's fair to say, with respect to the pandemic. We're seeing articles in Starburst magazine. I was just actually reading the current edition, holding it up there, which actually opens with the line, is cinema well and truly screwed, effectively? I mean, I've worked through a whole process, which I think is a little bit drastic, but clearly, with respect to Universal saying, effectively, the way forward is to make every movie like Trolls. No, please. But actually release it in terms of distribution. It is a big issue. And certainly, I was talking actually to Phil Leonis yesterday about his own views on this, a sort of prep situation. And he said, despite the fact we've all got home entertainment systems, there's something about that collective experience of sharing a movie in an environment that actually is really difficult to replicate at home. I don't know. I mean, it's like sporting events and so on. You're a filmmaker. You've migrated, obviously, from photography to filmmaking and so on. Are you of the Christopher Nolan belief that actually it needs the big screen, or is it a case of ultimately it's like Darren Aronofsky? He doesn't care as long as his movies are screened somewhere.
Christopher Nolan happens to be one of my favorite filmmakers, and I do agree there is a need to see things collectively, especially with science fiction and our worlds. I mean, let's just think about the lead up to a Star Wars premiere or a Star Trek movie, fans gathering, and you know, the entire cosplay community, which I embedded myself in for a bit. To make We're All Cylons, the families that are chosen by the fans. These are chosen families. And there is a hunger for that. There is a need for that as it overlaps with cinema and making art. We'll get through this time, though. I think that will come back. And I'm seeing a lot of creative alternatives to that. I mean, obviously online message boards and communities and social media platforms and self-producing. There's just been a lot of that. It's like, oh, here's my video dressed as, you know, Princess Leia, or, you know, that's an old one, but that's my, that's my generation. You know, and there's shares and likes. And I think it's a hopeful community. And that everyone deep down knows eventually we will get back to a new version. I'm not saying normal, because we don't really know what normal is. But if it means we all have to show up in masks at a cosplay event, or if we have to show up in masks at the premiere of a movie, then we'll do that. But it's tough. I mean, Christopher Nolan, I don't know. It seems like it's the only movie on planet Earth right now that they're talking about. And it does seem a little, a little petty, considering the mass death and suffering that's occurring right now to just be concerned about the release of your movie, it's like, I mean, I wouldn't want to be in his position. I mean, otherwise than be in his position on many other levels, but in terms of being able to make whatever movie he really wants to make, you know, bad timing, but come on, man, let's get over it. Let's put it in perspective, what's happening on this planet, especially in America.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, we were discussing earlier in the week, actually, with Tara Bennett, who's the US editor for SFX magazine, and Richard Edwards, who is a former editor of SFX magazine, together with Robin Pierce. We were discussing the way in which the San Diego Comic-Con, again, worked or didn't work online. I mean, the mixed feelings. Some people said, yes, it was good. Other people said, I'm not so sure, effectively. Clearly, online events, as we've discussed, are one of the ways in which human beings have been coping. We were covering an online book festival in Newark, Lincolnshire, Nottinghamshire, earlier in the year. And we will continue to do that. And actually, one of the good things of the whole system is what we're doing now, because the likelihood, I mean, I know we're having a one-to-one, but we also have done Zoomers with other guests on the show, and it obviously gives it's another angle. I mean, if you think back to when you were with Phil Learness and Dean Haglund, and we were both collectively across the Atlantic Ocean doing a 25-hour broadcast-a-thon and a whole package of things for the Mayan calendar, and it was working through there. Skype would never really have stood up to that in terms of the robustness, whereas I think, you know, what we can do now is really useful, and it does mean that, looking at my own personal point of view, a lot less mileage, a lot less traveling, and much more working from home, which I think, to be fair, has got more pluses than minuses in certain routines. So I think maybe this is a stage of evolution, partial rebirth, development, engaging with the process and realizing that it is a small planet. We are all interconnected. Seeking scapegoats, which is a traditional human way of actually operating, actually doesn't do anybody any favors whatsoever. And I think that some of our politicians who've taken that scapegoat route, maybe it's not so good. Although, having said that, you know, what's not to love about a president of the United States who says, nobody loves me anymore? Well, I wonder why, Donald, but never mind.
Well, if we're going to go there, yes. it's a few things. First of all, it's incredibly disappointing to realize that a small portion of anti-science believing demagogues and ignorant people, willfully ignorant people, are responsible for the situation that we're in. You know, most Americans believe in mask wearing. Most Americans don't want to send their children back to school until it's safe, but we have a small portion, well, it's not that small, but you know, 30% of people that have truly messed it up for everyone. Even here in California, where we have decent science-based leadership, in the beginning we were praised. Oh, look at California, they're doing everything right. They locked down early, this and that.
You soon headed off to Venice Beach and party though, didn't
you? Oh, yeah. No, it was like, okay, we see an end to this. But there were enough people here who prioritized going to bars, who prioritized house parties, who alarmingly started to think of masks as dangerous and, you know, couched in these conspiracy theories, they ruined it. And so in the sense of, is it safe to scapegoat? I think scapegoating is different than examining the facts and seeing the evidence of what happened. And you can truly point to certain, science is pointing to certain places that the outbreaks started again, bars, parties, indoor gatherings, outdoor gatherings where there are no masks and people are face to face. Masks and outdoors really is okay. So there's that. And, you know, I want to agree with you about this being part of our evolution. And I think it is, you know, this online, the gathering, but the technology is just not that great yet. So it's hard to be excited about it, you know, and it's, And I don't know about you, but the first few months of this, I had several Zoom meetings with the board of my, co-president of my school board, okay? So there was, you know, we got to figure this out. We're leaders in the community and they're panicked parents and we've got to work this out. These Zoom meetings, and then also like production meetings, like writing stuff, you know, so meetings, were exhausting. We're physically draining in a way that a phone call's not and in a way that an in-person meeting's not. And I think that's because of, and I'm not the first to bring this up, you know, we're used to interacting in person, picking up cues, body language, subtle cues. One is used to being able to talk, overlap. It's how we talk normally, interject, like I thought. But if you right now said, oh, that's right, I'd cut off in this really awkward way, you would then like blast in with your okay. I'd be like, okay, he's saying something, and then I'm back. Is it time to say? Is it that? You know, there's a delay. So that's awkward. The way our radio interviews never were awkward.
I wasn't
expecting to see you. I wasn't expecting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I suppose. So. Of course, we do have the option of actually turning off the camera. I mean, if you wish, I could always
if that actually helps. No. I didn't mean to take it personally. I'm actually not exhausted at all. This is fun. But I'm talking about the meetings, the business stuff, the stuff that you just have to slog through. And this is a joy. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. And I would say that everything you said, I would also apply to Microsoft Teams, which is the University of Lincoln's official line. And it's also, again, you talked about nonverbal cues. Reading the room is quite challenging. Similarly, with respect to however many students you're actually lecturing to, on a one-to-one basis, it's fine. But if you've got a group of 10 plus, getting a sense in terms of where your delivery is going. Having said that, people who are relatively skilled in radio have got an added advantage because we're used to talking to effectively no kind of response or can be. So it's a different line. I mean, I have to say hats off so far to Louis Savvy, our mutual friend and colleague, who has taken the biscuit so far with his Zoom calls with us. He's even gone full virtual background Starship Troopers and various other elements as well. So he's really pushing that angle there. I'm not sure Fiona Moore hopefully will be on board as well. She's done a couple of sessions with us. So it's all fitting quite nicely together. You've talked about, obviously, California and the way forward for that. One question, as somebody who was unfortunate, although some might say fortunate, to experience the shock and horror of 9/11 and New York, globally, is this as significant? Is this worse? Is this better? Where would you pick? We think about the whole system, and I was thinking about New York in particular, because earlier in this whole breakout, I thought, well, New York might be thinking, have they actually shot an albatross somewhere? Because in the first two decades of the 21st century, they've had 9/11, they've had the Wall Street crash and crisis with respect to that, Lehman Brothers. And of course, COVID-19 hit New York like nobody's business. Any thoughts from yourself as a New Yorker? Or is it a case of, well, thank goodness I'm back in California?
Well, okay, yes. And every day I give thanks that I live here in this. I have a big house. We're right in Griffith Park. We have a swimming pool. I mean, the level of privilege is, it's almost, you know, it's amazing. And I'm grateful every day as my family. When it started to happen in New York and it looked like it was going very bad, obviously my family, a lot of them are there and my best friends are there. It was awful. I mean, I felt a piece of my heart was breaking every day. My brother is someone with a pre-existing condition, so fortunately he was able to get out to a summer house. So that was, you know, again, very lucky. I know many people who've come down with COVID and had a real rough go of it. They survived, but are still suffering months later. With lingering effects. My best friend is a neurologist, and she at Mount Sinai and worked on the COVID floor. And she helped shepherd countless people to their deaths, because that was what was happening. She also saved many people. There was a purposeful mindset that they all had. They had a coming together. They all had a sense of we're in this together. We're fighting this together. And as I wanted to go there, obviously, and then obviously couldn't, wouldn't. It would be foolish, and I wouldn't know even what I could do. So the fact that now, still, we have a leader who is
Sorry, you have a leader. I wasn't aware you had a leader. I
no,
thought you had somebody who actually had an
no.
ego problem.
That's true. Yeah, a malignant narcissist who claims to rule
And
the
that's according to his niece.
yeah, exactly. Malicious, willful homicide, really, at this point, genocide. I mean, considering the number of brown and black people are disproportionately affected, and poor people and old people. So, although there are many younger people who are ill with this, it is disproportionately killing people that his white supremacist fans don't really care about. And it's safe to use language like this because it's true. And he's trying to distract us with his performative fascism and the anti-mask movement and the anti-maskers pretending it's, against they're hurting their civil liberties. They're to know what New York went through and to see this, it's gone from compassion and sorrow to rage and anger and righteous anger. And it's also something I struggle with. When I hear these stories of these anti-maskers and hoaxers who think, and they throw these parties and then one of them dies. Or, we've all seen those stories, and happening in Texas now, and the Texas Tribune is in the Dallas Morning News. They're all printing these stories. Legitimate journals are printing these stories of these people who had a come to Jesus moment, like, I guess it wasn't a hoax after all. So the part of me that I was like, okay, that's still someone's father or son or brother or mother. These are still human beings, and I want to only feel compassion. I want to only be like, oh, poor soul, bless them, may their spirit transcend. I believe that, but I'm also so filled with anger and rage. Like, how dare they? How dare they do this to other people? How dare they infect other people? It's not just themselves. It doesn't exist in a bubble. So it's a struggle. It's a personal struggle that I know a lot of people are experiencing. And so that's where we are. And to be banned from so many countries, it's humiliating. It's truly humiliating. I can't believe it.
I mean, the ancient Chinese curse, nothing to do with COVID-19, but may you live in interesting times, certainly springs to mind in terms of that. And if nothing else, the era that we're currently experiencing, which arguably, yes, you could say 100 years ago, Spanish flu was a different issue. It was a pandemic. It was a plague which didn't originate in Spain. It originated in America. Oh, there we are. But in terms of that line of things, my point being that one of the aspects that later historians revealed was that the keep calm and carry on slogan that the British government effectively coined at the time was that they knew about Spanish flu, they knew it was a problem, they knew that issues were there with the health of the country, but because they were still actively involved with the First World War, or the Great War as they're referring to it, they felt they actually couldn't actually say anything. It would be too bad for morale. Hence, I suppose a million and one conspiracy theories come to mind in terms of the rationale, the setup, and all the rest of the bits and pieces. Ultimately, perhaps we have to take that line and actually say we need to have a respect and take a day at a time and actually look at that process. And that's the advice I've certainly been giving to my students, that no matter how stressful it might be, no matter how many new things you've got to, because there are people who have been put out of work, they've been put on furlough, there have been challenges with respect to that, so there's a fear for the future. There's also the concerns about how are we going to develop this. There are, in the case of a lot of academics, including myself in this particular area, lots of work needs to be done in terms of radically adjusting our kind of deliveries in terms of using the technology, which, as opposed to what used to be supportive, now is effectively the conduit through which we actually communicate, which is fine. And again, you know, it's working through that. But I think taking that small baby steps and acknowledging where we're going, and maybe going full circle, actually realizing that, yeah, this is something we need to benefit from what I say, what we're doing now. And I hope that in the not too distant future, we can actually connect our mutual friends, Phil and Louis,
yeah.
And I've forgotten the name of the composer that you introduced us to.
Luke Carradine.
Of course, Luke Carradine. Yeah.
In Hawaii.
Of course, exactly. And I think we should actually do that, because that is an opportunity that has been provided for us.
Yes.
And it is a way in which we can actually produce some material. As I say, this evening, I'd originally hoped, say this evening, obviously in California, it's, 7 o'clock, 11 a.m. So yeah. About 11:22. We were thinking originally we might have a cosplaying Battlestar Galactica soul. She hasn't quite connected, but that's okay. I think it's been really useful getting a flavour in terms of topics that, as you rightly say, needed to be raised. My next question, Ilana, has Joe Biden been in touch with you to be his running mate?
Oh, Joe, yay. He's turning out to be great, I gotta say. His platform has gotten a lot more progressive. I mean, it already was progressive. You know, I think he's evolved into being more than anyone but Trump, and that's exciting to me.
Although having said that, the latest rumors that we're getting over here, and I'm not sure whether it's spreading through the states, is that in the event of the current incumbent losing, then he's basically going to he's talking about postponement of the election, not accepting the result, maybe actually nudging it a few months away, etc. Quite extraordinary, but again, you know, perhaps...
Yeah, well, unfortunately, our Constitution won't let him change the date of the election. It would have to go through massive, like, bill changing and legislation. It's just not going to happen. He's just trying to undermine the legitimacy. We have to just make sure we show up in such sufficient numbers that it's unequivocal. But yeah, the Republicans are going to try to cheat. The Republican Senate will be behind him. They've been his enablers. They have as much blood on their hands as Trump does. Again, not hyperbole, like people are dead because of their inaction. But yeah, I agree with you. No, this is great. I think you should get J-Ro, because J-Ro is now currently at his friend's house in Maui, as if Big Island wasn't, you know, good enough, because his house is under repair. So I talk with J-Ro. He's like right on the ocean, and it's very calming. And and we do have to take this day by day. I think the danger my thought process gets into is when I start going too far ahead. Like I need to plan today. I need to sit in the presence of the moment. I can plan out a couple of weeks, just little things like, oh, okay, there's this meeting, or we're going to plan this, you know, little bits. But yeah, in terms of the big picture thinking, yeah, like, forget it, because then it starts to spiral. Like, what if my landlord wants to repossess the house? What if, blah, 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 you know? And then it's like, go there.
Which again is that ego, which I know Eckhart Tolle, with his seminal text, the only book he's actually written, The Power of Now, I think is significant. And that notion
of
actually...
Exactly. A new earth. Yeah. No, you have to read The New Earth. That he wrote that after.
Ah, right.
It is amazing. Yes.
Yeah, we will look to that. Ilana, it has been awesome connecting with your good self. I feel
Likewise.
As though we've at least in our own way added another little a few molecules to sanity and safety and happiness, yes, in the world, which is important. But two critical questions remain. First of all, Ilana Rain, there's a bit of rhyme there. You know, I can actually develop a sort of poetry there. Two questions remain. First of all, Ilana Rain, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today?
I absolutely did. I love seeing your face, and I want to talk more. And I do want to be a part of talking about positive things and developments. It's It's hard, it's challenging because reality is slapping us in the
Yeah.
face, but we will get through it. We will.
So then
And
the
culture
next critical
will save
question.
us.
So the next critical question is, can we look forward to doing it again in the very near future? How about
Yes.
same time next week?
I can do that. I can do it. Something to look forward
Well,
to.
there we'll do that, and I'll try and get a couple of other sort of folk on board as well. And if you've got J Rowe's details again, email them over.
Will
We
do.
might invite him on as well. We could connect Los Angeles, Hawaii. Actually, what's the time in Hawaii at present?
So he's 2 or 3 hours behind us. I think
Oh,
it's
so
their
it's
daylight.
about 9 a.m. Sort of. So yeah, so it's
Yeah.
yeah. So
It's either
yes.
2 or 3. He's up. I mean, he wakes up at the crack of dawn, so.
Well, we've connected with Melbourne, Australia before, so I think we could look towards this. Let's provisionally look to go with that.
Yeah, he's 3 hours. I just checked. He's
Excellent.
3 hours behind us.
Ilana, it's been awesome sharing some thoughts. Lots more things to discuss. We
Great.
will see you again in the very near future. For the
Okay.
moment, happy trails.